This morning we return to the Gospel of Luke and we continuing our series of expository sermons. In this Gospel we reach chapter 8 and we consider a very famous passage. This is one of those texts that are very much feared by preachers because this is perhaps the most known parable of the Lord Jesus Christ, the parable of the sower. We consider verses 1 through 15 of Luke chapter 8. And here what we notice is that the Lord Jesus Christ issues a warning on how are we listening to His words. He issues a profound and a deep warning, giving us a wonderful moment for self-examination, for us to answer this particular question. How are we listening to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ? With this in mind, please turn with me to Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 1 to verse 15. Hear now the word of the Lord, infallible and inerrant. Now it came to pass afterwards that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. It was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Then the disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word, with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Thus far the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. Let us pray together. Great God in heaven, as once again we come before your word with the desire to listen your voice thundering through the pages of Scripture, Father, we pray that you would remove the blindfold of our eyes so that we may see the beauty of your law. Father, we pray that you would open our ears to hear and to listen to the words of Christ in a way that will be honoring and glorifying unto you, and that it would be profitable for our souls. Help us to search ourselves this morning, Lord. Help us to repent of our sins. Help us as well to be encouraged as we live for your glory. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Amen. Depending on the church you go, you will find several different cultural aspects of that specific gathering. depending on the country where you are, depending on the specific society where you are, you have different traces, you have different customs, and you have different approaches to different things. But there is one thing that is probably common to whatever gathering of Christians, regardless of where they are, and it's sermon evaluation. Every Christian, after listening to the sermon, will engage in some sort of sermon evaluation. They would do perhaps the critical approach, where they dissect everything that was said, and they are very critical of what they have heard. They are critical of the method. They are critical of the approach. They are critical of the words. Others will approach it in a very gracious way. Everything is good. Everything is fine. Even if something wrong was said, at the end, ultimately, it was a very fruitful exercise. Others perhaps will be more judicious, not so critical, but not completely positive, and they will make their own assessment in a critical manner, but in a gracious manner at the same time. But you see, while evaluating sermons are present in any Christian group, among any Christian church, the real question is not if we are able to evaluate sermons. The real question is, are sermons able to evaluate us? The real question is not, are we able to make criticisms to sermons? But the real question is, are we being evaluated by God's Word every time we hear a sermon? That's exactly what this text is all about. This text is all about the way you hear the Word of God. It's not so much about criticizing sermons, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with evaluating sermons and meditating upon them and perhaps finding things that needs correction in them. But on the other hand, this text places the burden on the shoulders of the hearers. And the question the Lord Jesus Christ, through His words here, wants to place on our shoulders, just as He placed on the shoulders of those who first heard this parable, is, how are you hearing the words of God? How are you hearing the words of Christ? What are the results of this hearing? What is germinating in your heart as the soul of the Word is being, as the seed of the Word is being sowed in your heart? And as we try to approach this question this morning, as we explore this text, let us have in mind that we must always hear God's Word with accepting hearts. Christian, you must always hear God's Word with accepting hearts. For any other way is unacceptable. This is what we learn from this text this morning. As we approach the words of Christ, as we come to hear Christ Himself speaking to us through the Word, we must always hear it with accepting hearts. Any other way is unacceptable. As we turn our attention to the text, we notice that the Lord Jesus Christ is surrounded by a multitude in verses 1 through 3, which we'll consider more towards the end of this exposition. We notice that the Lord Jesus is in this preaching tour in verse 1. We notice that He is really focusing on His ministry. That's what He said He came to do. To preach the Word. And that's what He's doing. And He's going. Notice how Luke emphatically says to us, He's going through every city and village. Everywhere He goes, He is engaged in this exercise, in preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Is that a description of yourself? Everywhere you go, are you carrying in the tip of your tongue the blessed and good tidings of the gospel of the kingdom? With everyone that you engage with, is that what is heard coming out of your mouth? You see, that's how Jesus is described. He is really investing His life, and that's what He came for. He's investing His time. He's investing His efforts 100% in pressing forward His mission in obedience to His Father. And we notice that it's precisely in this context that in verse 4, a multitude gathered around Him. People is attracted to Jesus. They are attracted to Jesus because of His message. They are attracted to Jesus because they are curious. Who is this man who is making such a revolutionary appearance here in the Middle East. People are curious, and the text says that a multitude flows to him, and he spake by a parable. Now, why a parable? This is a wonderful moment, isn't it, for Jesus to proclaim the gospel in all clarity and have people coming to himself or becoming disciples, isn't it? Perhaps that's what any preacher would think. Well, this is a very good moment for me to gather followers. I can't mess up. I can't lose this opportunity. I need to gather people. So this is the moment when all clarity, with all kinds of arguments, perhaps even arguments that is appealing to my listeners' ears, that's what I'm going to use. But that's not Jesus. That's not what he's going to do. He's not going to please the crowd. He's not trying to gather followers. He's preaching God's word in complete dependence on the Spirit of God and on the Father himself. And we notice that because of the reason why he preaches in parables. As we turn our attention to verses 9 and 10, we understand why that is the approach that Jesus is using here. The reason why he's speaking in parables, and that's precisely the question that the disciples make, what does this parable mean? And he says, the reason why I'm doing this is because I'm using a sifting device. I'm using this parable to reveal to you a mystery. Look at verse 9. The disciples ask, what does this parable mean? And he says, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Now, keep in mind that by the word mystery in the Word of God, we always have at least two ideas. The first one is something that is hidden and being divinely revealed. This is generally what mystery means in the Word of God. Something that only through divine revelation can be known by man. So, in other words, the Lord Jesus is saying, this is a device of revelation. The parables are a way in which I am teaching you that which was hidden, that which only God knew, and now God himself is making you know. But there's a second reason, he says. It's not only a means of revelation, it's also the means of separation. Because not everybody is going to hear. Look again at verse 10. He says, to you it has given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. But to the rest, this is what Jesus is trying to accomplish, the same thing that Isaiah did in his ministry. That's why he cites Isaiah at the end of verse 10 when he says, seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. In other words, the reason why the Lord Jesus is using the parable is to reveal, but also to conceal. At the same time, he's revealing that to those who are approaching him with true interest, with true faith, seeking to be at his presence and to know. Notice that the disciples ask the meaning. Isn't that interesting? In verse 4, we are said that a great multitude gathered around him and he spoke that parable. But in verse 9, only the disciples are interested in knowing what does that mean. It's not the multitude asking for it. Many in the multitude were seeking Jesus for a blessing. Many in the multitude were seeking Jesus to be entertained. Many in the multitude was just seeking the presence of Jesus out of curiosity, not with true interest for the salvation of their souls. And to them, Jesus Christ says, this is the purpose of the parables, so that they seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. In other words, as they would listen to that story, to that puzzling story, and as they couldn't figure out the meaning, they would just go away. Jesus is not there to entertain them. Jesus is not there to make a show for them. Jesus is there to preach God's word and to bring sinners unto repentance. Those who are therefore not seeking Jesus with that purpose would listen to that, to those words, and they would just go away. They're not being entertained. A commentator put it this way, the parables separates the sincere seeker from the casual hearer. The parables make this sifting. They separate the sincere seeker from the casual hearer. And that's what the preaching of the Word of God does, isn't it? It's not for every ear. Not all ears are really pleased with the preaching of God's Word. some ears when they are pricked, some hearts as they are made bare naked. They rebel against it. They harden themselves against it. They take offense to it. But this is still the Word of God. And it is to those who are seeking to be fed through God's Word that Christ then addresses His parable. The parable then is an instrument for sifting true seekers from casual hearers. And this is what the Lord Jesus means by this parable. He begins to explain the parable. And this is why this passage is so difficult for any preacher. Because the best of the preachers has already explained the text for us. Our duty, therefore, is to search our hearts. And as the Lord Jesus begins to explain, He tells us that the first unacceptable way to hear God's Word is with a hard heart. The first unacceptable way to hear God's Word is with a hardened heart. That's illustrated by the hard soil. He says in verse 4, in verse 5, he says, a sower sent out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Basically, what the Lord Jesus has in mind with this illustration are those compacted soil areas that we find around plantations. Paths where trucks goes by or where you are used to walk through. And so those compacted areas where the soil is indeed very hard to penetrate. This path crossings that one may find in the field, use it for transit. That's what the Lord Jesus has in mind. And that is not at all an area fitting for seeds to germinate. In verse 5, he reminds us again, as the seeds are thrown in these places, they are trampled down, and even the birds of the air devoured it. They can't germinate. They can't flourish. Hardness of heart. Well, how do we know it is a hardness of heart? Well, because in verse 11 and 12, the Lord Jesus explains what he means with that. Look at verse 11. Now, he begins to explain to us that this parable is in reference to the Word of God. And that's why this is not exactly the parable of the sower as we used to deal with this. This is the parable of the hearer. If we could rename this parable, and the Lord Jesus never named the parable, that's perhaps the name that you find in your Bible. And at the end of the day, as the Lord Jesus is explaining the parable, he's not really concerned with the sower. He's very concerned about the way we hear. And he tells us that this hard soil that he just spoke about in verse 5 is a reference to the hardened hearts of man. In verse 12, he says that those who hear in this way are those who have a hard heart, and the devils come and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. The hardness of heart, a heart who is hard to penetrate, a heart who is hard to listen to God's Word and to care about spiritual things. There's no way for the Word to germinate. There's no root. There's no life. Now, what hardens a heart? What makes a heart hardened to hear the Word of Christ? Well, obviously, it's the hardness of sin. Sin is the concrete of the heart. And there are so many among us who are exactly in this way. They are hardened by unbelief. Sometimes they are hardened by bitter experiences in their lives, or bitter experiences in previous churches that they attended, or bitter experiences with people who call themselves Christians, but who didn't really live out their faith. There are many reasons why people's hearts may be hardened. But at the end of the day, the reason why the hardness of heart is true is because of sin. Sin is what hardens our heart. It is so much sin, as we read it at the end of verse 12, that the devil is involved in this whole process. Look again at the end of verse 12. He says, the devil comes and takes away the word of their hearts. Have you ever thought about that? That every time the Word of Christ is preached, there is an enemy who is praying and who is ready to snatch out of your heart the Word of God that has been sown. It is because of this activity of the devil that sometimes we find ourselves watching at our clocks all the time. We're more concerned with the time than we are concerned with the Word of God. It is because the activity of the devil that we think it's very hard to follow and we don't really care to pay attention. Among two of the problems that the devil may cause to harden hearts, according to a commentator, is wandering thoughts and sleepy eyes. Christian, is this the way in which you have been listening to the Word of Christ? With a hardened heart? If it is, what is hardening your heart? Is it because you are uninterested in the spiritual things? Is it because you don't care at all about the growth of your faith? It is because you have no interest for Christ? Regardless of the way you describe the hardness of your heart, know this morning that your heart is hardened because of sin. And there's only one who can break the concrete of your heart, and it's the Spirit of Christ. You see, this is a very important matter for Jesus. Do you notice that? Back in verse 8, at the end of the verse, he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." See, this is a very Middle Eastern expression to say, this is a very important thing. You better pay attention to what I'm saying. If this is your heart, if your heart is hardened, if the way you hear is with a hardened heart, indifferent to spiritual truths, the devil is at hand and he will snatch from your heart every little seed of the Word of Christ preached unto you. Oh, may we be aware this morning that there is an enemy ready to make us uninterested in God's Word, ready to make us wandering around, thinking about what we are going to do when we get out of this place, ready to make us completely uninterested in Christ and His Word. Let us beware of Him. But let us beware of the hardness of our own hearts. What is hardening your heart, Christian? Is it because the preaching is too harsh? Is it because you have no interest in the Lord Jesus? Search your heart this morning. For if you find yourself with a hardened heart, where the Word of Christ has no place and there's no way for it to sprout, you need to repent. You need to come to this very same Christ so He will soften your heart. But there is a second way of unacceptably to hear God's Word. The first way which is unacceptable to hear God's Word is with a hard heart. There is only one way we must hear God's Word, and it is with accepting ears, with accepting hearts. But the second way which is unacceptable to hear God's Word is with a superficial heart. A hardened heart is not acceptable. But a superficial heart is not acceptable as well. Look again at verse 6. The Lord Jesus then began to tell another example from nature, from regular life and regular affairs. And he tells now that the second soil is the rocky soil. In verse 6, he says, "Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture." Now, this is a reference to shallow soil. This is a reference to those areas in which the bed of rocks is superficial and it's too large. So that when the seed falls in them, there is a germination, there is a sprouting. But that little plant that begins to sprout failed to reach the soil. And as it fails to reach the soil, says the Lord Jesus, it lacks moisture. It can feed itself. You see, that's a reference to the shallow heart, as the Lord Jesus Himself is going to explain in verse 13. In verse 13, He says, "The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, they receive the word with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while. In the time of trial, the time of temptation, they fall away." You see, the test for the shallow believer, for the shallow hearer, is temptation. Is trial, is hardship. When the heat of life comes upon that little plant, that tiny little plant, all of a sudden the plant is dead. When persecution comes, the plant is dead. When temptation comes and time to put to death our sin, the plant is dead. When poverty or sickness or even the pressure of friends come leading this young, greenish, and beautiful little plants unto sin, they all die, says the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, one of the very dangerous things about the superficial faith is that it is faith. Look again at the text. There is a visible element. The text says they receive the word with joy. There is feeling. Feeling is different from faith. Faith endures. Faith is the product of the Spirit in the heart of man. But feeling is the product of our sinful hearts. But you see how dangerous it is? The shallow faith is that who raises his hand in the time when some sort of external movement is required. The shallow heart is the one who is ready to say he is a Christian, who is ready to say he will follow Christ, who is ready to say that he's going to give everything for the love of Jesus. But when trial comes, when the hardship comes, it reveals itself as dead faith, as no faith at all. There is that greenish element there. But it was all fake. Christian, this is the way you have been listening to the word of Christ, with a shallow faith. Or is the word of Christ finding root in your heart? Is it really penetrating in your heart in such a way that even when the trials and temptations of this life come, there's not a way that seed will be dislocated from the soil? There's not a chance that seed and that little plant will be ripped away from the ground. Is that how you have been listening to the word of Christ through sermons? We see sometimes we become as professional hearers of sermons. There is a risk of that. We listen to it and we vibrate with it. So, whoa, what a great sermon. Whoa, we listen to it. Whoa, that's a very nice rhetoric. What a well-delivered sermon. Whoa, what a wonderful content. Greenish. But what about when the temptation comes? And when sin knocks your door? When the pressure of friends and family leads you to deny Christ, leads you to the path of sin? What is happening? See, a commentator put it beautifully. He says, we may be warm admirers of favorite preachers and yet remain nothing better than stony ground hearers. Nothing should content us but a deep, humbling, humiliating, self-mortifying work of the Holy Ghost and the heart union with Christ. Oh, my dear brothers and sisters, let us be careful with the way we hear. Let us not hear with a hardened heart. But let us also not hear with a superficial heart who is all excited about God's word, who is all excited about Christ. But when temptation comes, when the pressures of this life come, there is no root. When the difficulties of life reach our lives, when sickness knocks our door, let us make sure that we are rooted in Christ's word, regardless of what happens. That we are not ready to waver, on the contrary, that we are ready to stand firm, regardless of the troubles that may assail us. We are ready to follow strongly in the path of Christ and to adhere to the word of Christ. This is the soil that He requires. This is the kind of hearer that He commands. There is a third way to unacceptably hear God's word. The first one is with a hardened heart. The second one is with a superficial, a shallow heart. But the third one is with a distracted heart. A distracted heart. Look at the text again. In verse 7, the Lord Jesus gives us a third kind of hearer, and he tells us that some of the seed fell among thorns, a thorny soil. And the thorns, or the weeds, sprang up with it and choked it. Now, I did have a lot of problems this past spring with weeds. With all my gardening expertise, I decided that our lawn needed no kind of products to combat seeds. And I quickly learned that they do need that. Seeds were springing all over. And doesn't your lawn get ugly when those seeds come up? When those weeds come up? And as you're walking around your lawn, you can really see those big brownish patches of grass because the thorny weeds are right there suffocating them. It's right there. What Jesus just told us here, it's right there in your backyard. But maybe that's a reference to you. Maybe not only a reference to good lawn care, but to your heart. Because then, in verse 14, the Lord Jesus will explain that what he means by this specific soil is that there are those who hear the word of God, but they're choked with cares. They're choked with the things of this world. You know, similar to the shallow soil, the thorny soil also receives the word. They listen to it. They pay very careful attention to it. And there are even some signs. Notice again at the end of verse 14, he says that, at the end of verse 7, he says that the thorns and the seeds spring up together. There is signs of life in both of them. Just like the shallow soil. The thorny soil is a very dangerous soil because it gives the impression that there is true life there. But what is the matter as we turn again to verse 14? Is that this is a hearer who is extremely concerned, not with Christ's word, not with Christ's command. His interest is on worldly things. Look again at the text. It says that these are those who are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. Now, one of the things that I really would like us to pay attention in verse 14 is that none of these things that the Lord Jesus cites here are unlawful. It is not unlawful for us to care for our bodies, for example. On the contrary, we are commanded to. There is nothing unlawful with being rich. It's not a sin to be rich. It is not a sin to seek pleasures in our life, the pleasure of a trip, the pleasure of practicing sports, the pleasure of enjoying a book with your spouse and sitting down and spending hours reading that or playing a board game with your family. There's nothing sinful in these things, but they can become sinful as they become the center of our lives and they choke our attention to Christ's word. That's precisely what the Lord Jesus is warning us here. As a commentator again explains, he says, thousands of things which in themselves are innocent become deadly when followed to excess. Little better than soul poisons and helps people into hell. Innocent things. But things that are distracting us. This is the third unacceptable heart, a distracted heart. A heart that is ready to pay attention to other things, even if they are lawful. But this lack of attention and focus lead us to death. Is this the way you have been listening to God's word? You've been listening to Christ's word. You've come to the worship services morning and evening. And then you even put some sermons on your car or in your truck as you are driving so that you may listen and learn more. But at the same time, you're too busy trying to make ends meet. You're listening to all these things, but none of these things find root in your heart. None of these things revolutionize your soul in the way you live. There's no root because you're too busy investing in your career. Because they're too focused practicing sports, perhaps, or making trips. You see, all these things are lawful things, but when they become the center of our lives, when they choke our attention and our focus to the Word of Christ, when we spend more time on these things than in the Word of Christ Himself, then we have a distracted heart. And a distracted heart leads to death. Oh, make sure you're not distracted, my dear brother and sister. Make sure you're not distracted. Kids, make sure you're not distracted. Make sure you're listening to Christ's word being preached unto you. Make sure you are absorbing. Make sure you are able to articulate later on, what was this all about? What was this story about? What was the word that was mostly repeated? My young lad and young lady, are you distracted this morning? You come here because of your dad and mom. I know that. But the question is, do you come because you desire? Is your focus to listen to Christ? Is this that you are aspiring for? Or when you sit in the pew, all that you care about is when this is going to end. Or all that you're looking at is on your own drawing in the paper. Oh, let us seek to mortify our distracted hearts. Let us make sure, young and old, kids or adults, that we are not distracted. That this is a time when we come to listen and to be fed and to listen Christ's words in a way that it's going to have root. And regardless of what comes on our way, we will stand strong and remain faithful. A hardened heart is unacceptable. A superficial heart is unacceptable. A distracted heart is unacceptable. What kind of hearing is acceptable? An accepting hearing. An accepting heart. And that's where the Lord Jesus was leading His original readers, and that's where He's leading us as well, as we look now at verse 8. In verse 8 now, the Lord Jesus speaks about a specific instance in which finally the seed founds a place in which it can spring, in which it can really sprout. Now, isn't it amazing as we read about these three different ways of hearing that the seed of God's Word sprout at all? Out of four soils, three are bad. Out of four kinds of listeners, three will simply not listen to Christ's Word in a profitable and a spiritual and approvable way. This is a good reminder for us preachers, isn't it? It's a good reminder for us preachers that our calling is to spread the seed. And there will be thorny hearers. There will be hardened hearers. There will be those who could care less about the Word of Christ, who are shallow hearers. But our duty is to continue to cast the seed of the Word of Christ. For there will be good ground. And that is for the Lord to know. And in verse 8, the Lord Jesus begins to talk about this. He said that there is good ground, and when this good ground is found, there is a success. The seed springs up, says He in verse 8, and yield a crop that is abundant. Look, He says, a crop of 100-fold. An abundant crop, abundant fruit comes out of that because the seed is life. This is a reference to those who listen to Christ's words with receiving hearts. Look at verse 15. In verse 15, we are explained. The Lord Jesus explained to us who He is referencing with this specific kind of soil. He says, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, they keep it and bear fruit with patience. Now, there are two things here I really would like to bring to your attention of this good heart, of this good soil. First of all, it keeps the Word of Christ. It's not a work of memorization that you need to pass through a pop test and all of a sudden you completely forget what you have learned. They keep it. It becomes their own. It becomes part of themselves. The first characteristic of this good heart, this blessed heart, is that it embraces the Word. It makes the Word his own. But second, is that there is transformation, for it bears fruit. Now notice that the fruit is bore with patience. Look again at verse 15. He bears fruit with patience. What a wonderful reminder to us that holiness, godliness, sanctity in this life is cultivated with patience, with care, and with grace. It's not an instantaneous process. Sin messed us up terribly. That's why we believe in the doctrine of total depravity. But there is fruit. Do you notice how different that is from that soil which is choked by the cares of the world? The fruit is no good. There is a little kind of fruit. There is something there, but there's no. It's good for nothing. Look again at the end of verse 14. He says, riches of pleasures of life choke this specific seed, and it brings no fruit to maturity. There's no progress there. There's a tiny bud, but it never develops. Not the good heart, not the good soil, not the good ground. The fruit prospers. You can see it. You see, this is an external element of what is happening internally. Oh, Christian, is this who you are? Are you listening to the preaching of God's Word, to the words of Christ with accepting hearts? Do you want to know how you can see, how you can really be comforted or perhaps warned today? Is with these two characteristics. Just search your heart today. Are you accepting it? Are you receiving it? Are you keeping it? Is this something that you take with you when you are in the car and driving in the transit? Is it something that you carry with you when you go into a meeting and a big decision needs to be made? Or when that strife with your spouse erupts and that seed is right there controlling your tongue, guiding your temper? Just look at your life. This is what Jesus is telling us to do this morning. The good soil that embraces the seed is the one that keeps it. It carries it everywhere. It makes it its own. And it bears visible fruit. And what a beauty it is. What a beauty thing it is to see a hearer of Christ's word who is not only accepting his word, but is being transformed by the power of the Spirit day after day. That's the only way to have a good soil, isn't it? The Lord Jesus doesn't really explain to us where this good heart comes from. A noble and good heart. Do you notice how he describes it? A noble and a good heart. That's the work of the Spirit. As we learn from different passages, we know that that's not the product of the natural man. A good and a noble heart is only the product of the Spirit, this blessed farmer who prepares the soil of our hearts to receive the words of Christ. But at least we can see, we can access ourselves this morning. Is this good soil what the Spirit has been given us? Are you keeping God's word? Well, that takes us all the way back to verses 1 through 3. Because in those verses, and you will notice that in the structure of the gospel, verses 1 through 3 and verses 16 to 18, they serve as two brackets to the parable of the sower. Look at verse 18. He says, therefore, take heed how you hear. Take heed how you hear. You see, in the next verses, the Lord Jesus continues the topic of listening. So verses 1 through 3 and verses 16 through 18, they serve as these two big brackets illustrating what the Lord Jesus is talking about. Well, how is that so for verses 1 through 3? Well, in verses 1 through 3, we have good, solid, grounded hearts who have been prepared by the Holy Spirit, who are searching for Christ and who are keeping His company and serving them. Look in verse 1, we notice the Lord Jesus, again, is in this preaching campaign, and He is with the 12 with Him. At the end of verse 1, that's exactly what we read. And the 12 were with Him. And not only the 12 were with Him preaching God's Word, but we have also women serving them. Now notice how different that is. Isn't it beautiful? How how the scriptures clearly gives different activities, different business to different people in God's word. The 12 are with Christ, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. The women are with him as well, but not doing that. They're doing something else, something very important, something very necessary. They are providing for Christ. But this is a good example of hearts who have been affected by the seed of the word of Christ. Both the disciples and the women show us this, that there are two aspects. So again, we can examine ourselves. They are keeping Christ company. The disciples are with the Lord Jesus and engaging with Christ in this preaching, this proclamation of the gospel. The women are sacrificially serving Christ. Look at the end of verse 3. Out of their own substance, they are providing for Christ. They are sacrificially serving Jesus. Is that what the word of Jesus is making you do, Christian? Is that what you see in your life? Are you seeking and keeping the company of Jesus as you walk in this world? Because you have been affected through his word. Because you have been transformed by the word of Christ. But also, are you offering yourself in sacrificial service to him? You see, it's very easy to sit down and evaluate sermons. Every January, I engage in this kind of exercise as I go to Greenville Seminary to teach homiletics and to evaluate sermons of beginning preachers. But the real challenge is to know, are we being evaluated by God's word? Are we passing in the test of God's word as the way in which we hear the word of Christ is evaluated? There's only one way to hear God's word, with accepting hearts. Any other way, with a hardened heart, with a superficial heart, with a distracted heart, any other way is unacceptable. Let us pray together. Great God in heaven, we thank you for your word, and we pray, Father, that as we meditate upon these things, that you help us to search our own hearts as to the way in which we have been hearing your word. Father, we enjoy listening to sermons, and we so many times have our favorite preachers, but Father, help us to answer the question, are we listening to sermons with a godly purpose? And are all these words of Christ that we listen to, are they really transforming our hearts? Is there fruit? Are we keeping it? Are we carrying it with us? Everywhere that we go, in anything that we do, Lord, we pray this morning, help us to search ourselves, young and old, kids and adults. Father, we pray, help us not to have hardened hearts. Help us, O Lord, not at all to have superficial and shallow faith. Deliver us from being choked with the things of this world, even if they are lawful. But help us to completely and promptly receive the words that comes from the mouth of Christ. Every time the gospel of Christ is properly and truly preached, may we, O Lord, receive it and yield great fruit for your glory. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Amen.